We are indeed, and in fact, open for business. Reverend Master stopping by with a yaw and Meow the Cat saying, have a chill one cigar. Meow the Cat also does a whole lot of streaming, on his own. So please make sure you stop by and check out Meow the Cat's playing some RoboCop Rogue City. Meow the Cat, how do you like the RoboCop game? I love that they got Peter Weller in there to do the voices and everything for that. I think that's like super, super fucking cool. But how are you liking the game? King Dinosaur is also here. Really needed this tonight. King Dinosaur, great to have you in, man. We're going to talk about something that I think, at least for me, is fairly interesting and was inspired by yet another streamer. He looks very much like Cary Elwes. Has a great voice, incredible hair, great beard. His name is Shorty Straw. So make sure you also stop by and check out Shorty Straw. He kind of inspired this episode today. So we're going to talk about something that's kind of silly, but also kind of fascinating. I think it's pretty fascinating. And of course, Black Hat's Poppy is here, who says,
hello, everyone. I'm here now so the party can start.
Good to see you as well, Black Hat's Poppy. Always good to see you. Hope everyone had a great weekend. Hope everyone is doing mostly okay. It was St. Patrick's Day this weekend, so if you got a little bit of Irish in you, here's a hats off and cheers to you. I do not, but I decided to celebrate some of it anyway. Gave me a headache. Geez, I don't drink as many beers as I used to. And also mixed them, which also is not so great. But you know, other than that, it was a lot of fun. So here's a cheers to that and a cheers to all of you out there. Kind of a super wild, wowie kazowie, crazy few days and whatever. Black Cat was under the weather a little bit. Hope you're feeling better. Did you have just a stuffy nose and all that sort of stuff? My allergies and nose are still bad and still snotty and still goopy. But that's okay. We're going to continue to do the show anyway. But here's some of the stuff that happened. A guy that I know that's here downtown, he's a funny guy. And by funny, I mean interesting, slightly weird, particular. And he asked me one day, he goes, if you had to make $500 really quick, what would you do? And so I thought this was just the guy being his silly self. And so rolled back and forth. And anyway, after we get to the end of that, he goes, I got a text message from this company that's sort of like a third party HR manager for where I worked. And the text message said, hey, we processed your payroll, and that's the last one you're going to get because you're fired. If you have any questions, bye. And that was it. And I'm like, oh my God. Another person that I know had another similar scenario where they also got let go without warning. So I don't know what the fuck is fucking happening out there. And then another group of people that I know are hitting super bad financial straits. And they may have to make some dire, drastic, crazy changes to their life. May even have to declare bankruptcy, depending. Which, man, it's like survival mode. You do what you got to do. But fucking shit is wild. And then somebody that my dad knows that lives here in Arizona, they have also been stricken with an affliction, which is sort of the same affliction that somebody else that I know here has. And they had a super bad reaction, nasty thing to that. And it's causing them to have all sorts of memory problems and they can't remember shit. And now they're in bad fucking shape and bad fucking news. So I'm like, So wild shit. Black Cat's Poppy is throwing up all over the place. She's barfing everywhere.
Just looks like cream corn all over my floor.
Hope the stomach barfiness has passed. Maybe you ate something. Maybe it's
smells.
But howdy, y'all. Black Cat's Poppy is here. Black Cat saying, or I'm sorry, NH Girl Fams, Krista is here and waving hello to everybody and giving some Kojak, who loves you, baby. Beautiful. But Black Cat's feeling better. Hope everyone had a safe, great holiday weekend. So good. Revmaster says it's been a week, but almost to the Wednesday after this since he's cooking his aging up dinner. Cooking dinners. Good. I have to cook dinner. I should probably cook dinner after the show, but I'm probably not going to. I need to, though. I have the ingredients. Maybe I should. It doesn't take very long. Black Cat says, probably something I smelled somewhere. Yeah, so it was kind of a wild weekend. You're going to get the super quick, super fast, ultra speed version of this. But some local motorcycle dealerships had end of year model deals. So I stopped by on a whim and did some talking and did some wheeling and dealing and did some hardballing and sold the bike that I had, got a new one that was much cheaper, talked them down even much from that cheaper price, got about 5 or more percentage points off what I was paying for it, and about 2 years off the term of the loan. So, and I'm paying like $60 less a month. So, did that. Weird to be on a new bike. I have to kind of start over with some of the other aftermarket parts and breaking it in and doing all that shit. But so far, so good, I guess. You know, at least save some cash in the long run. So Black Cat says, hoping things get better for all of those people, right? It's just terrible shit. Krista had leftover corned beef, cabbage, potatoes, and carrots. There's one thing you could say about St. Patrick's Day and all that food is the farts, which maybe that's what made Black Cat's Poppy sick, is the high amount of methane from all the little bar that I went to, and was talking to the you know, people that are just at the bar as you do. There were some Irish people there. Their accents are just adorable. Just love it. Love it. Older couple. And another couple that was with them, and I would imagine probably their kids and whatever, but charming, very charming, extremely charming. Yeah, that's what the little Instagram picture was for. I'll probably post a couple of other different ones. That was, I took that right when I got home. Like I say, it was like whirlwind shit. Stopped in and got all done, got home, and it was like 8:30, 9 o'clock-ish, moving on that. So I'm like, all right, I had one picture, but it was kind of in the dark. But anyway, I don't want to bore everybody with all of the rest of the details on that, but that was sort of a pseudo, we'll call it a birthday gift to myself. Blackhead did not have any corned beef, but do you have any regular beef? Do you have any non-corned beef? Do you have any corn with your beef? What's your beef status? So, yeah, kind of a weird, wild tail end of the week. Kind of a crazy weekend. So, you know, just moving into another week. Obviously, there's always a lot of other stuff on my mind, but we'll talk maybe a little bit more of that in detail on Wednesday, because even if some of you are not necessarily gamers, we're going to talk a little bit about something gaming related. And I imagine most of you can probably understand and appreciate some of the aspects and kind of weird history that goes into this, given children and given cost and given business. So again, this was sort of inspired by Shorty Straw, who's playing a lot of this stuff. But I actually did some work and did some prep for the episode today. Felt like, hey, let's get into something that's a little bit more of a true topical topic, right? So, all things considered, it's sort of interesting that video games, largely other than cheap mobile games and the idea that there are now these free-to-play games with microtransactions and ads and that sort of thing, for the most part, video games have not really gone up much in price. So back, I will say, from the ColecoVision Atari, and then, in this case, the Nintendo Entertainment System. You know, video games used to run somewhere about, I don't know, anywhere to, we'll say $30, $35 up to, in some cases, almost $70. Which, you know, especially at the time, it was a lot of money. Now, when you're a kid, you don't understand money and you just want things and your parents can buy anything, so why don't they buy you more games? But my gaming, while I did play some arcade video games and some of those older systems like ColecoVision, Atari, and all the rest of that, the big one for me was the Nintendo Entertainment System when I was young, the original NES. So Chris has been playing around in the Wii lately. So you know, I think they have some of the virtual console, whatever games there, the real retro, you know, throwback titles. But even some of the games on the Wii, some of the games on the Wii now that you'll pay for, yeah, you can get them much like you used to back in the day. You used to be able to find stuff at, what were they called? Babbage's, Toys R Us. What were some of the other, there was another kids like toy kind of store. And after a time, you know, when the system first came out, like a lot of systems in the first sort of came out, you know, the games are full price, but as time goes on, they have sales. KB, that's what it is. You nailed it. KB Toys. Black Cat on top of it. You know, you'd find stuff in sale bins, clearance, whatever. Maybe you could get them for $15. You know, when the older Atari systems, you know, were first out, and after they kind of ran their course, you know, you could get them for cheap. And you had to buy them. They buy them on a little cartridge, much like some of the stuff for computers. You could get them on, you know, disc, or eventually on a CD-ROM. But you know, back in the day, that was ooh. You found a sale, you found some of these things. Also then, you know, the games didn't really move as fast as they did now. Yeah, they were the hot titles that all the rest of the kids wanted to play. And so if you didn't get the newest Zelda or Castlevania or Super Mario Brothers, you know, those were always the ones that were like super hot to trot at the time. But a lot of the regular other titles that were out there, there was often kind of a, didn't always necessarily know how early they were released, what the development time frame was, are they newer or the older? Have you just not seen them? Have they not been in stock? So on and so forth. But I remember at one point when I was younger, hearing about some of these magical, hidden, secret things where people were getting video game cartridges that sometimes had 12 games on them. And you could buy for a regular price of a cartridge, you could get 12 plus games. And I was always excited and thinking in my head, oh man, you know, I'm thinking again, some of the Nintendo, Konami, Capcom games, some of the, you know, the famous ones, whether that's again, going to Zelda, Super Mario Brothers, what were some of the other ones that were like super hot at the time that were just regular NES games, but racing games, Rad Racer, all those sort of adventure style games. You know, I'm thinking, man, if if my parents could get one of those, I could have like 12 of these games, Mega Man, like Mega Man games, you know? And so I always wondered what were those and where do you get them? You know, I heard rumors that some of the kids that I knew, whether they were at school or whatever, had them or knew somebody that had them. And that always seemed to me like some sort of secret hidden holy grail of, hey, for the price of one, again, you get a whole bunch of games. Krista says the boyfriend is cleaning up his room and found a plug and to play Atari. Might try it later. It has my Frogger on it. Your Frogger? There's a specific Krista Frogger? I mean, Frogger is fun. It was, I like playing that in the arcade. I didn't like it as much for the console systems. But I always like playing it in the arcade. I don't know why. Maybe it has something to do with just the case and the stand-up and all the rest of that, right? But even those arcade games, some of the ports of the arcade games, you think about those and you think about, you know, you go to an arcade and you could spend a quarter playing on that how many times, but oh, if you buy it for your house, you can play it all day long. Galaga, Popeye, Frogger, some of the other Centipede. Moon Patrol? Do you like Moon Patrol? I had that in one, I don't know why I always say that, but I always pick on Moon Patrol. It was in one of the ASMR videos that I recorded. Right, so there's a little bit of some, in that regard, some information on, you know, where I was at as a kid in terms of money and cost and thinking about these legendary hidden cartridges and titles. But as often happens, and as is the reality of that is not as good as your imagination makes it out to be. Because in one case, there was the rumor that there were 52 games on one cartridge. Now, for me, that must have been tantamount to magic. Didn't really have any idea or concept of the memory that you have to work with there. It's not really enough to put 52 games, the likes of a Zelda or otherwise, on there. And as it would turn out, this 52 game cartridge actually has a name, and the history of said game is around a cartridge that is called Action 52. Action 52 is an unlicensed multi-cart video game compilation developed by Active Enterprises for the Nintendo Entertainment System and Farset Technologies for the Sega Genesis. The NES version was released in 1991, followed by the Genesis version in 93. The cartridge consists of 52 games in a variety of genres, mostly scrolling shooters and platformers. The featured game is The Cheetahmen, which was part of Active's failed attempt to create a franchise similar to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Active Enterprises was legally incorporated in the Bahamas, but the offices and development were located in Miami, Florida, while the company's product warehousing was located in Orlando. Well, I got something in my eyeball. The NES version of Action 52 sold poorly and became infamous among gamers for the poor quality and functionality of its games. It is often considered to be one of the worst games of all time. The Genesis version is widely considered superior, though still of subpar quality. Many video game collectors value Action 52 for its notoriety and rarity. It initially retailed for the comparatively high price of $200. See, and there you go, $200. So that would be $200. You can see over here on the side, on this little picture, the suggested retail. We'll zoom that in. The ultimate challenge, 52 games in one cartridge. Suggested retail, $199. Made in America. Hold on 1 second. I have something in this eyeball that was irritating me. Hopefully, I just was able to get that out of there. So yeah, $200 for that, right? Now, that was a fortune. It still is. But includes games, the most common types being vertical shooters, set in outer space, and platformers. The games have a variety of major programming flaws. Some of them freeze or crash. Other issues include incomplete or endless levels, confusing design, and unresponsive controls. Each game is given a brief description in the manual. Some of the descriptions cover games from the early development that were very different from the games of corresponding titles. For example, Jigsaw is described as a game involving a jigsaw puzzle, but the game titled as such on the final product is a platformer involving a construction worker avoiding construction tools. The Cheetah Men is the featured game and was intended to launch a multimedia franchise and an accompanying line of merchandise. A Cheetah Men animated television series, a comic book series, and t-shirts were planned. An advertisement for action figures, which included concept art, appeared in a promotional comic book included in the Action 52 package. However, these plans were eventually canceled due to the extremely negative reception Action 52 received. Active Enterprises advertised a contest involving Ooze, one of the games of Action 52. Players who could complete level 6 of the game could enter a drawing for $104,000. Ooze was reported to consistently crash on level 2, therefore, it was impossible to qualify for the contest without using an emulator. After the contest had been canceled, a second version of the Action 52 was released, which fixed the crashing problem, among some others. Few of the games from the NES version of Action 52 appear on the Sega Genesis version. Although many of them have been retained, the games themselves were rebuilt from scratch. For example, Haunted Hills appears in both versions, but the player character's gender is different, female in NES and male in Genesis, as is the setting, which is inside a haunted house in the NES version and outside in one of the Genesis versions. In the Genesis version of the Cheetah Men, the title characters rescue cheetah cubs from Dr. Morbus and his minions. Many, though not all, of the numerous technical issues of the NES version were fixed, which also takes advantage of the Genesis superior hardware. Each game is color-coded on the main menu screen. Beginner games are green, intermediate purple, expert yellow, challenge white, multiplayer games are blue. So let's go on. Okay. Krista says, my roommate was just telling me she beat the last Spyro game being collected in 8 or so hours, the PS3 version. She wanted to see Spyro fly. Turns out he only flew in the last hour of the game. Dude, that's a giant ripoff. So the development of this note of this title, was it just a scam? Was this just a ripoff grab? Why are they so shitty? Well, the creator of Action 52 was Vince Perry, a businessman from Miami, Florida, and the owner and founder of Active Enterprises. According to Perry, I happened to see my son playing an illegal product made in Taiwan that had 40 games on it. The whole neighborhood went crazy over it. I figured I would do it legally. It's obvious when you see something like that, you know there's something there. Perry met Mario Gonzalez at a recording studio in Miami, Florida, where Gonzalez was working as a sound engineer. He overheard Perry talking to the owner of the studio about him wanting to create a cartridge, similar to the bootleg one his son that contained 52 games. Gonzalez informed Perry that he and his friends, Javier Perez and Albert Hernandez, were into making games. The trio created a Tetris clone called Megatris as proof of their abilities. Perry was impressed with the game, and alongside Raul Gomila, hired them as well as a fourth developer whose name is anonymous to create the game, with Hernandez acting as the main programmer, Gonzalez composing the music, and Gonzalez Perez and the fourth developer working on the graphics. In 93, Perry showcased the game at the International Winter Consumer Electronics Show. He claimed to have raised $5 million from the multi-cart from private backers in Europe and Saudi Arabia. The developers, who used an Atari ST, were given 3 months to complete it, leaving little time for playtesting and bugs. Technical work was contracted out to Kronos Engineering, a Boca Raton company who'd previously done work for IBM. Gonzalez, one of the programmers, says that Action 52's developers were flown to Salt Lake City, Utah, where they were trained for a week on using a NES development kit by a video game company, the name of which he does not remember. However, he does recall that the company was developing the NES adaptation of The Empire Strikes Back. This would identify the company as Sculptured Software. Corroborating this is Action 52's use of Sculptured Software's NES music engine. Several pieces of the music were plagiarized from sample composed by Ed Bogus for the music studio, published by Activision. The games of the plagiarized music included Fuzz Power, Silver Sword, French Baker, Steamers, Time Warp, Tickers, and Ninja Assault. Gonzalez confirms that in addition to many of the unused tiles, Action 52 has 8 extra game templates because the distributor configured the cartridge to hold 60 games by default. According to Gonzalez, the gaming press's characterization of this as a scam is incorrect. He says that Perry, inspired by the neighborhood reaction to the Taiwanese cart, fully intended in the beginning to create and market a legitimate multi-cart. However, Perry knew little about video game business when he launched the venture, and as a result made serious errors, such as entrusting the project to programmers who had too little experience and giving them an insufficient amount of time to develop Action 52. Perry's expectation that the multi-cart would launch a multimedia Cheetahmen franchise was similarly not well-founded given the game's low quality. The Genesis version was developed by Farsight Tech under the direction of Jay Olbernolt using a Macintosh LC. Farsight's experienced programmers, along with returning Perez and Hernandez, Gonzalez opted not to participate in order to spend more time with his girlfriend, whom he would eventually marry, were allowed to spend a year developing this version. Farsight insisted that Active Enterprises playtest it before release. Thus, the cart had far fewer glitches and was than the NES version. Mark Steven Miller and Jason Scherer of New Romantic Productions composed the music in 48 hours. They were going to do a SNES version, and that was canceled. They also planned to have them develop another multi-cart entitled Sports 5, but Active folded without releasing either game soon after, and no copies of them are known to exist. Rivermaster still needs to beat the other two games in the collection, only played and beat 2. Oh, I think he's talking about Spyro. Just like Crash Bandicoot, second game he beat, but not the other games. Really just wanted the Sly Cooper and the Jax games on PC, though. Well, those are much better games than this game, because here, when you read the reception, a critical reaction to Action 52 has been consistently negative. All-gamer editor Skylar Miller described the game as an unlicensed but legal multi-cart containing NES games of extremely poor quality. The entirety of this has been famously reviewed by internet personality and YouTube content creator James Rolfe in the 90th episode of the 5th season, which aired on YouTube. Despite his comedic exaggerations, the review pointed out severe cases of repeating themes, crashing or non-functional games, critical bugs, and misleading titles. So, this cartridge it's a mess. It's a real mess. And here, if we look here on the Wayback Machine, we'll get a little bit more of some of this. But podcast listeners, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back. So going through this little review, So he starts off with some of the same sort of thing, you know, talking about finding it, whatever. And he says, guess what? It blows. Much of this might come from your worst gaming-related nightmares. Other parts will make those nightmares seem like a trip to a candy shop. Well, it's true that not a single entry is even close to good enough to be an acceptable standalone cartridge. Prevailing wisdom about the game states that these are creations of unthinkable badness. And so anyway, this guy kind of just completely trashes on it. And to be honest, it's bad. It is really bad. However, knowing what I know about technical industries, and you can even see this today with the rush of some of the AI stuff where it's done embarrassing things and whatever, the fact that the guy has had, what, 3 months? 3 months to finish this is crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Three or four guys who had never really even worked with a development kit did this in such a short amount of time. So there's another thing here. I hope this still works. So here's the Action 52 developer blog. So this comes up about how this came to exist. Oh, see, you think it used to have... I don't think this exists. So this is just the guy. Okay, here we go. So this guy was into music and Mr. Pugh. They're working out of Vince Perry's office, which doubles as a recording studio. I eventually was trained by them on how to design backgrounds and sprite animations, much to the contrary of the Amiga stories, worked on PCs called DB Paint. They were satisfied with the commitment, and they came in around 11 a.m. and left around 11 p.m. or later. So the guy Vince would come bring coffee, and so that's how it was for 2 to 3 months of my life. We had 3 months to storyboard, design, start, finish, test, and do everything total. They did an assembly using math by hand until someone had the foresight to buy him a calculator. They did the game graphics and MG did the music. 4 guys, 3 months, 52 games, no pressure, and no money. That's until I talked to the guys and letting me ask for some kind of advance. It was maybe $1,500. So these guys are just busting their ass on this. And they had investors, so I've read the controversy and seen the videos. The truth is, I was told there were Saudi princes, and it was hinted at that there were South Florida questionable pharmaceutical independent contractors that were investors. Wink, wink. I never met either. That doesn't mean they didn't exist. It just means I never met them. I did meet a group of people Vince brought by the office once or twice, kind of like a tour. One guy, he had a brand new Jeep Sahara. I'm fairly certain he was an investor, and he was also versed in computers. So, let's see. Raul wasn't a developer. He's an investor, so I'm not sure what his role is. But then you wonder why the games are so full of bugs. Besides the lack of experience, the 1 to 2 weeks of training the other three got, deadlines and working conditions, and the lack of seeing no end. I don't remember ever playing any of the games all the way through. We may have, but it wasn't like we had a team of 20 people doing assurance. We did the best we could with what we were given. And, I might add, we were very proud of our accomplishment. Can't speak for the rest of the guys, but this is a day. Still have very fond memories of those days and what we were able to get done. So they finished it. They released it. And after that weekend, I don't remember hearing about it again. I moved away for college and did my thing. After college, I moved back and worked doing various computer jobs. And one day, after cleaning out some boxes, I found it, the Action 52 prototype. And so anyway, that's where this guy's story there ends. But that's, you know, a little bit of a story of somebody who actually was working on the title. Nanotech is here. Says, hello, bald man. Been a bit. Nanotech. Good to see you. We were talking about the infamous slash cruddy game Action 52. Let's see if this one. No, that one doesn't work. I was trying to hunt down some of these earlier. There it is, the official cartridge details. Try to get Billy Bob out of the dungeon or to save Mary Lou. Go along with the Action Game Master as he changes into one of the fearsome Cheetah Men to try to defeat all of the Action 52 evil attackers. These two games, plus an additional 50 games on this one multi-game pack, will keep you entertained for a long time. No, they won't. They'll keep you very frustrated. What makes this cart different than the others? The cart's plastic casing is held together with metal screws. Most of the other ones contain no screws and held together with something like plastic rivets. The PCB is a unique blue color. And so anyway, this is the guy's original prototype cartridge build of the infamous Action 52. Here's some screenshots of the Cheetah Men comic book. Let's look at some of the Cheetah Men. Oh, that's a Pornhub thing. We're not going over there. No, no, no. No, 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 no. We don't want none of that. No. No. You get out of there. Well, I don't know what links these. It looks like a photo book, but it's going somewhere weird. We ain't going there. So anyway, these are original shots. You can see the little posters. You know, they did try to go through and do some actual promotional artwork for it. So, you know, again, in terms of calling it a scam, I think it was more just a mismanaged kind of mess. So now that we've gone through some of the history of this thing, perhaps you may ask and wonder yourself, what do the games actually look like? Funny you should ask, or maybe not ask, as it were, because I just so happen to have that right here. So for those of you listening to this as a podcast, you're going to hear a variety of horrible music and sound effects, but you won't be able to see the shitty graphics. But you will be able to hear my comments, because we're going to dive in a little bit to the actual Action 52 cartridge. Make sure my audio is not blowing you guys away. Hopefully that's not too loud. How's the volume? There's the Cheetah Man. He looks like he fell into a toxic waste dump. Make your selection now. So here you can see you have the 52 games all listed on here. So if somebody wants to pick one of these, Fire Breather, Dam Busters, Thrusters, Haunted Hill. I'm going to play Haunted Hill because what this looks like is a rather thick-bodied, large-breasted woman who throws cocks. Doesn't that look like a dick? But the play control on it is extremely stiff. They explode into something that looks kind of like spaghetti. There is a portion of this where if you jump too high, you just die for no fucking reason. I think I'm doing better than Shorty was doing. Fucking stacked, though, I'm gonna tell you. I mean, Sure could have been a star. Black Cat would play this game. But as you can see, it's of dubious quality. I mean, you think of games like Castlevania and all of the, classic monsters and everything else. This thing just looks like a weird, hairy piece of rhubarb that kind of flies at you. And, there really isn't that much of an indication as to exactly what you're doing and what this place even is. Holy shit, that thing scared the crap out of me. I don't know if this ever ends or if you just do this forever. It does kind of look like a circus peanut. This does look like you are throwing penises at circus peanuts. That little motherfucker got me. So as you can see, that is sort of the quality of the games that we were talking about in the Action 52. Now, it looked like Nanotech wanted number 12. He wanted Thrusters. Let's check out Thrusters. I mean, once again, more cock-looking style. Oh, I didn't realize it was a thing you could crash into. A lot of these games have areas where you can kind of just, like, stay over here and nothing will happen. So as you can see, I'm just over on the side of the screen. Oh, see, that one guy would have kind of got me. But, you know, like, think about something like this. Okay, it's rudimentary. You know, they program something. Enemies come from the top of the screen, fly down at you. There don't appear to be any power-ups or anything else like that going on. You know, I'll say maybe it looks like a programming project that maybe somebody would have made. There are times where if you look right now, see how I'm shooting tons and tons of bullets? There isn't enough memory to spawn any other enemies. So as long as you just keep shooting a whole lot, none of the rest of the enemies actually come out. You can see stuff disappearing and warping around the map. That's how terrible it is. Yeah, just keep shooting to win, baby. Just keep pumping that button. As long as you keep button mashing, you're safe. They look like a variety of strange Christmas cookies. You know, there's no real movement to any of them. They kind of just go from the top of the screen on down. I would imagine there's probably no real boss spaceships to fight. There's strange purple fortune cookies / bent noodles. Actually, those also kind of look like limp dicks. A lot of penises and cocks on this. You randomly at some point just get to the next level. Now this is just this red looking starscape. I don't know if this ever fucking ends. Again, you can pretty much just sit here and not do... Well, there you go. Oh, I want to go back to that. Keep going. Oh, shit. You have to go through the... Yeah. Keep going. Just go ahead and nuke ourselves. Black Cat was asking, what is Alfredo? This is a premium Italian game. Premium Italian game. Alfred in the Fatouk. Alfred in the Fatouk. I don't know what he's doing there. He's mashing noodles. Oh, Christ. Just instantly killed. Apparently, your Alfredo mashing noodles. Look, you can't even quite jump over the... So here's a thing that happens in a lot of these games. So watch. If I push the jump button, okay? If you're holding the button down, you then can't move. You have to tap it and let go of it because the interrupt on the controller will not respond to any of the rest of the controls until you let go of it. Which is why I was having difficulty jumping up here and mashing the other macaroni noodle. This game is terrible. We'll give it one more quick shot. Black Hat loves these games. And I have to say, for as kind of bad and rudimentary that this is, the details of the kitchen, the little knives and the electrical socket and everything else, I mean, they put effort into it, right? Whether it's for good or for ill. I don't know why you can randomly just walk through that block, but you can. I want to see if there's another level where you do anything other than mash noodles. This is literally just the same thing over and over. Oh shit. Oh, he's fucking it. But I'll mash him with my spoon. Horseshit. It's kind of these were, well, so this is 1991. As you can see, we've only gone through a few of these titles. If you want to see one that just absolute LSD inspired fucking insanity, this French Baker game is completely nuts. So here's some French Baker, where you die instantly. I don't even know why I died right there. Oh, shit. What is destroying me? Do you die if you fall? You have to go down the ladders. Apparently that must be it. French Baker cannot fall. He is Le French, and so he has weak legs. But look at what a mess it looks like when he crawls up the ladder. What kind of animation is that? And there's like a strange fried piece of tempura or something that's coming after him. I mean, kind of nightmarish looking enemies, if I'm 100% honest. You do see conies. They kind of do kind of look like conies. What's with the bloody... Oh, shit, it fell. You fall, you die. Okay, now we're getting the hang of this. This is a real pro game. This is the sort of game that the real players play. As ridiculous as this is, and as terrible as the graphics and shit are, I can actually almost see this as a sort of Game Boy style game. I don't know how I'm ever supposed to get through this up here. There you go. I don't know if this ever ends, or if you're just doomed to fight some strange... Why is he fighting like a cat? Oh, level 2. Oh shit, this guy's almost came and got me. Oh, I got killed by an envelope on wheels. So I will say that is for as terrible as a lot of this is, the fact that those guys did this in 3 months, at least did the art and everything else, and had something that, as much as it plays poorly, it does still, in fact, play. Now, what? Apparently one of the games that was supposed to be a breakout title was supposed to be this Billy Bob. I took 2 steps to the side and a rock fell on my head. Well, what in the fuck? God damn it. This is supposed to... Is this supposed to be like some sort of Prince of Persia clone? You have to basically be hitting the jump button as you go. Oh, fucking A. Woo. It's horse crap, man. I'm telling you, horse shit. Okay, I gotta... I don't think there's a way to get across that. Can you go down? No. I really don't understand what you're supposed to do here. Your guy just falls and dies every time. Oh, come on, man. Baloney. Are you supposed to get this blue torch? If you hold the button for even a second too long, it's that same thing I was telling you about where you can't... Oh, shit. Look, we made it. That wasn't even that far of a fall. And you have to start all the way over every single goddamn time. I button mashed right there, but it was apparently too early. We're going to give this one more shot, and then I'm done with Billy Bob. Okay, now look at this. There's no way for me to get up there without just getting impaled. I hit the goddamn button, I'm telling you. You can hear me button mashing. Listen. Horrendous. Could you imagine having to just play that for fucking eternity? Before these games, I had a handheld game from Japan. Probably about 82. Cats tried to cross the street, and you had to keep them from getting hit by cars. Lots of cats. They kind of looked like Felix. Was it one of the ones that was like an LCD crystal display? It's like a little LCD game. So here's a game that will give you nightmares. Non-human. Starring strange Elton John and this weird... Oh, God. I don't know why I fell through that fucking block. Bullshit. Oh, okay, so now you're just fucked. If you didn't jump up on these blocks, you now are just doomed to fall on these strange severed heads at the bottom of the screen for zero apparent reason. No, great, died again. Let's give this one more try. It's... it's quite hard to describe how unbelievably difficult and shoddy the controls are. You know, when you do play some of those storied classic Nintendo and arcade games, and then you play something like this, you really do get an appreciation for, in a certain sense, how well those games were programmed. As opposed to this just unbearable tragedy. See, like right there, your legs fall right through the brick and you just die. Let's see. How about fuzz power? Let's try... Oh, no. Let's try fuzz power. What in the hell? It's kind of just a big giant nose with hair. Oh, it farted at me. Is it a hairdryer? I don't know what you're supposed to do right there. He's a penis! He turned into balls and dick nose! Doo-loo-loo. There... Oh, and then just fell down the hole. I mean... Oh. It's like if you stop for even a second, the thing just kills you anyway. So I don't know how you are ever supposed to... I don't know how you're ever supposed to make it through this. Once the hairdryer cannon or whatever that is starts shooting at you, you're pretty much just fucking screwed. You just die every time. Unless there's something you can do with these coconuts. Who knows? It is a foot with a head. You evolve or you just get like shaved. Oh, here's critical BPs. This is critical blood pressure. Oh, critical bypass. Oh, come on. I can't even tell what is happening. This is clearly a ripoff of Exvius. So you shoot in the direction that you're moving. But as you'll notice, none of these games really have any sort of power-ups. None of them have any sort of otherwise, I will say, really distinct levels or anything to them. I don't know what that is. It was like a weird tumbleweed chasing me around. I'm getting chased by pieces of caramel corn. I like how it can't handle playing music and the sound at the same time. Trying to see if you could do the same thing where if you just kept shooting, if it can't handle it. Now let's try the flagship title. The Cheetah Men. Action Game Master was at home playing his video game when suddenly an arm reached out of the TV and pulled him inside. When he looked up, he saw three gigantic yellow bodies. It was the Cheetah Men. He began to explain. The Cheetah Men told of the enemies were here in the game world. Don't worry, we will fight for you. The Cheetah Men ran off, and now... The Cheetah Men! Say it again. Say Cheetah Men one more motherfucking time. I fucking dare you, motherfucker. During this game, you'll have three Cheetah Men. A different one in every second level to fight for you. Oh, shit. Use Ares, wooden clubs, and martial arts skills to defeat the enemies in the first two levels. Oh, dude, look at him. He actually looks pretty badass. He's just having some sort of weird conniption fit. Thank you. What is this, a ladder? I mean, this is pretty. Oh, oops. You can't jump. Apparently, I'm allergic to the Cheetahmen. Oh, I didn't walk far enough. That's why I couldn't go up the ladder. Sounds kind of rockin' music. Sounds like something King Dinosaur's band would play. Dude, this music's kind of dope. I'm not even joking. Oh, now I can jump. Beat some little Italian guy in the face. Is that fucking Hitler? Oh god, jumping. I'm kind of into this Cheetahmen game, not gonna lie. This shit comes at you pretty quick though. Like, you gotta be on your, Oh, what the fuck? I can't tell if I'm actually doing anything to this guy or not. I did it! Hercules, the larger Gothra, uses raw strength as his only weapon. Jump if you can, but you must... I couldn't read it fast enough. He just, like, strikes a pose. Ripped. Just fucking destroyed. Oh, no. This level is fucking dog shit. Zykolos. Why is there like a little toy car and a hammer on the floor and that's just what kills you? A cheese grater got me. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, that's clearly the best out of the ones that we've played so far. How about sombreros? Oh, sombreros! Oh, I got fucking just run over in the street. What the fuck? I don't know what the significance is of these purple things. Why is he just like playing in traffic? Black Cat's probably like, I like this game, it's premium entertainment. I've just fucking shot some dude in his backyard. Get over here. I don't get it. No, dude, you're going down, motherfucker. Play Jaguars Bruce Lee game. Is it as good as this? Is it as good as Sombreros? Where you just apparently walk down the street and shoot people in the backyard while you play in traffic on a road you can't get off of. Do we get points for picking these up? I don't understand what those purple things are supposed to be. I do kind of like the shooting animations. I like how he has like two pistols that he uses. That's pretty dope. I will say, in a sense, this is one of the more playable games. Are we collecting sombreros? Is that what we're doing? Whoa. Very weird. Very strange. Very strange title. Yeah, that's right. I still blast you one, dude. Uh-oh, I'm stuck. Well, so Zykolos, what you missed and what we went through is this game or games are part of a collection of 52 games on a multi-cartridge that are often listed as being some of the worst ever. As you can see, the background sprites here are warping in and out of existence as the game can't handle the memory. You can see shit just warping around in the background. But for that guy's article about being basically proud of what they did, nevertheless, I do have to still sort of agree. I mean, for building this in 3 months, I don't know if this atrocity is... Oh, see, I was telling people to tell me if the music was too loud. But too bad. Fucking A. It's too bad. I thought it was quiet. I have it turned down fairly low. Alright, this game apparently never ends. So we're going to be done with that. Ah, yeah, I thought I was asking earlier. Somebody said it's good. And I can't turn up the volume because it's so early my neighbors would fall out of their beds. Or just ignore these games and play tabletop. Correct. Or just play outside. Either of those would have been an improvement. Yeah, it was... yeah, is that, what did I say? Circus. Walking shrimp. Said it's good. It's good. Somebody said it was good. You guys tricked me. You tricked me. But that's going to do it for the end of the episode. We're a little bit past the hour, so. That was a trip down the bizarro world of old school, unlicensed, not necessarily bootleg, unlicensed NES games. We'll see you Wednesday. As you say at the end of all of our episodes, stay safe, keep the faith, and all of that good shit. Thank you for everybody that stopped by, including Reverend Master 88, King Dinosaur, Krista, Black Cat's Poppy, Meow the Cat, Nanotech was here, and Zykolos was here. So I had a nice group of people today. Thank you for indulging me in that silliness. Next time we do retro, we'll play something that's an actual fairly decent game to play. So we'll play something that's... not quite so rough around the edges. Yeah, don't let the Action 52 bite in the night. Certainly don't want that. So, see y'all again next time. Make sure to get yourselves some rest.